Well, it's great to see all of you this morning. It's good to be back here after going down to Texas this week. Karen and I flew down there on Monday, and then we flew back home from Dallas yesterday morning. So it was kind of a quick week, and we're able to be with my brothers and sisters and their husbands and wives. So we really had a nice visit there. But I'd like to talk with you this morning about a verse of scripture here in the book of Hebrews that is one that really brings out how that we are a family in Christ. And as much as we love our brothers and sisters here on this earth and how special the family is to us, I feel that in many ways being a part of the church is in many ways even more of a special family than our own families that we have. And I say that with a family that I love, my brothers and sisters. I have a wonderful family there. But God's family exceeds that in so many ways, I believe. And this is one of the verses that I believe really helps us to understand that. In Hebrews chapter 3, he tells us here that we are to exhort one another daily. And I'd like for us to think about just what does that mean and why is that important, and what are some of the reasons that may be difficult for us, and what are some of the consequences if we fail to practice this among ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's turn over there and read this together in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12 beginning. He says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Exhort one another daily. That is the key phrase that I would like us to focus on here in our lesson today. There's a number of times in the New Testament, going back into the book of John, chapter 13, where Jesus began to say, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." And we keep finding these recurring statements as we go on through the letters of the New Testament, where we'll talk about one another relationships that we have. And these are always talking about our relationships with our brothers and sisters in the church, within the congregation primarily, the closeness that we are and how we are to be a family. Well, this is one of those verses, "and exhort one another daily." Now, the thing that is interesting about this is that depending on if you're using the King James Version or the New American Standard, the new NIV, some of the different translations, you'll get a different translation on this. And sometimes it will say, "encourage one another." Sometimes it might say, "beseech one another." But here, I want us to use this morning the "exhort one another." And think about that. What would that be like? What does that mean for us to exhort one another and to do that daily? Which obviously brings out the fact that he's not just talking about here coming together on the first day of the week when we assemble together as we this morning to worship. And as important as this is for us to be here and to worship together and to see each other and encourage one another while we're here this morning, this is talking about something beyond that. Because he says, "exhort one another daily." Now this word that is used here, the word "exhort," that's translated "exhort," sometimes it is translated "encourage." Sometimes it is translated "comfort." Sometimes it is translated "beseech." So, an admonish. There's different ways that this word is translated, and it can have all of these meanings. As a matter of fact, this word itself that Paul or the Hebrew writer, whoever the Hebrew writer might have been here, used this word in the Greek language, it is pronounced parakaleo. Well, it's made up of two words, para, which means alongside of, and kaleo, which means to call. So when you put these words together, what it meant was to call alongside of. It is the idea that a person comes alongside of you to encourage you. And that is something that we all like to have, friends like this. We need friends like this. Someone who encourages you. And maybe this morning someone will come up to you and give you some needed encouragement. I think we all need that. We all need encouragement. And one of the beautiful things about being a Christian is every first day of the week we come together with our family here. And we have that opportunity to go over and talk with another person and give them encouragement, show an interest, personal interest in them. And it's a beautiful thing that we have there. So we need that encouragement. But what this is talking about is here to go next to a person to admonish them or to spur them on. You see, in Vine's expository dictionary of the Greek language of the New Testament, he gives this meaning to the word. He says, meant to call on a person, to call to the side, to beseech, to entreat, to admonish, exhort, or to urge one to pursue some course of conduct. And he said it is almost always looking to the future. And is always talking about a person to come to their side and put your arm around that person and encourage them something that they need to do and to help them with that. So as Christians, we are told here to do this for one another daily on a regular basis. And I honestly feel like this is something that we tend to neglect in the church, not just us here, but I think that as Christians, looking at the modern world that we live in, this is probably one of the areas that we fall down many times and fail in really practicing this as God wants it to be. Now, this word, parakaleo, that is used, another interesting thing, this is the same word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, that is actually the same word that is used here. So what God is saying to us is, in so many words, that we are being called by God to render the same service, actually, that the Holy Spirit renders. Here on earth, the Holy Spirit is able to render it in a much broader, more powerful way, obviously. But in the same type of service that the Holy Spirit performs to help us as Christians, we are to render that same type of service to help one another. So we need to think about this. We need to think, how do we do this? And what will be the consequences if we fail to do it, if we neglect doing this? How is that going to affect us? What are the consequences of that going to be in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters that I love and care about? So it is something that I need to understand why this is here in the New Testament and how important and how vital it is for us to practice this with one another. So I would say to you that this is more than just comforting each other. I mentioned that it is nice, and we appreciate when someone at the service comes over and asks how we are doing in a very meaningful way. Very caring. How are you? How have you been doing? And knowing something about you that you may be going through some trial or some difficulty, that they are there to help. They are there to encourage and support you. That is something that we all appreciate. But if we look at Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, he points out here that this is something that we are doing here this morning. That is one of the reasons why we come together to do this very thing. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another." As you look at these two verses, I think it becomes evident here that what he is saying in this context goes beyond just encouragement or just comfort. He is talking here about spurring each other on to love and good works. And in doing that, he's saying we are to exhort one another. The word that he used when he says to stir up here is the same kind of thought that if you are cooking with charcoals in the barbecue at home and you stir them up to bring them back to, you know, keeping the heat among them. You stir those up. Have you ever done that? Where your charcoals are starting to die out, cool down, and you stir them up and it warms them back up again. That is the same thought that he is using here, that we are to stir up one another to love and good works. It is the idea that we actually we prod each other to love and good works. And that is something that may not always be comfortable to do that. But we know that we need to be doing love and good works. We need to be active in that. And the Hebrew writer is saying, don't neglect that. Make sure that we do it and you stir each other up. Come on, let's be doing love and good works. So sometimes this may be a little bit unpleasant and uncomfortable, and yet we need to be doing that. Sometimes we need to be prodded and reminded and pushed forward and reminded, let's get going. Let's be doing this. This is something that's important. The Lord requires this of us. So why is it that we should exhort one another daily? Not just when we're here on Sunday morning, but on throughout the week on a regular basis. Now, there may be a day that we don't have contact with each other. There may be a number of days. But I think you can see that the point that he is making it, this is something that needs to be going on regularly, daily. And it's not just something that the preacher does when he gets up and gives the lesson or the sermon. It's something that every one of us needs to be involved in practicing with reference to each other. Now, why should we be doing it? Number one, God commands it. And he says here again in verse 12 and 13, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." He explains here, right here, why we need to be doing this. In other words, he shows here that God commands it of us and we need to pay heed to this. Beware. There's a warning in this of what could happen if we don't do this with one another. There can be an evil heart of unbelief that comes within us and we can harden our heart against God. And it's happened. It has happened. This is not just something that he is saying is a hypothetical instance. This has actually happened, and it happened in the case of the Israelites. The book of Hebrews, he is alluding back and forth throughout this writing of the Hebrew letter to what happened with the Israelites under Moses. And he's using that in a positive way to help remind us that we are now sitting on a much better place than they were with Christ in the new covenant, but we need to make sure that we don't let that same happen to us that happened back there with them. So the reason that we need to do it is because it's our job as a Christian. With one another, with our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters, this is our job to exhort each other in being faithful to God. Because we are on the way to heaven. We are crossing through the wilderness like they were crossing through the wilderness. And we remember what happened with them as they were in the wilderness. So it's my job, it's your job as a Christian, every one of us, it's our job to exhort one another in being faithful to God, because we are on the way to the promised land. We are on the way to heaven to spend eternity with God, and we don't want to miss out on that, and we don't want any of our brothers and sisters to miss out on that. That's why it's our job to encourage each other daily. Because if we don't, we may fail in reaching that place that we are wanting to attain to through an evil heart of unbelief, through the deceitfulness of sin. And so we need to help others stay on the right path. And in doing that, we need to admonish them. We need to exhort them. Sometimes we need to push them a little bit. And it may be a little uncomfortable. Is there any one of us here today that likes getting poked in the side with a stick? I don't think so. And yet that's in effect what he is saying that we sometimes need to do with each other. We need to do that because we want to get to heaven. We want to each other to make it to that goal and not fall short of it. So we need to exhort one another daily to help each other stay on the right path. And as I said, it's one of the reasons we come together. The Lord recognized the fact that we need to assemble together every week. On the first day of the week, we come together to break bread, to remember, to partake of the Lord's Supper. But in being here, we're not just here to check off some items on the list and say, now make sure we took the Lord's Supper this morning. Oh, we're done with the Lord's Supper. I guess we could go now. No, there are some other things that we do when we are here, and that is our relationships with each other. And we are helping each other by admonishing and encouraging and supporting. And maybe you do have something that you need us to pray for you this morning. Maybe it's something like that. You're going through some struggles, and so we need to pray for each other. But that's why it's important for us to be here on a regular basis. It's not just that the Lord wants to put these things on us and say, I want you guys to be here every Sunday, and I want to make sure you take the Lord's Supper and you do all these other things. He has a very practical purpose in it for us, because the goal is that we are someday going to be able to get to heaven together. So we need to stir up, stimulate each other, and we need to do this daily. Secondly, what is the danger in neglecting this? Well, he makes clear what the danger is. That we could have an evil heart of unbelief, lest there be in any of you, he said, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, as we are living here in this life, we are constantly being exposed to the temptations of sin. And sin deceives us. Sin promises us that we are going to gain pleasure and we're going to gain satisfaction, and fulfillment in the things of this life, the joys and the pleasures and the indulgences of this life, is going to bring us lasting pleasure. And it's a lie, so it deceives us. God has something for us that is eternal, that will last forever. We'll be together with God throughout eternity in a place of holiness and righteousness and purity. But an evil heart of unbelief, we can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And a person, it's hard to understand and realize that a person who has once committed their life and made the decision of their heart to follow the Lord and serve God can become hardened against God and walk away from the Lord. And yet it happens in people's lives. And the example is that he reminds us is that of the Israelites. The Israelites, as they were crossing through the wilderness. And so as you go back to verse 7, and he calls attention here, quoting from the book of Psalms, Psalm 95. "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." The Israelites saw so many things. They saw this parting of the Red Sea. They saw God coming down upon Mount Sinai in the cloud. They heard the voice of God. They saw God moving with them through the wilderness and providing for them with manna every day from heaven. And yet, when it came down to them being asked by God or put to the test by God to go into the land, they were right near the border of the land, and they turned their back on God through unbelief. When Joshua and the spies went out and came back with their report, people of Israel turned their back on God and all that He had promised to them because of unbelief. They did not have confidence that God could bring them successfully into the land. And through that unbelief, they failed to reach the promised land. God said, they will not enter my rest. One thing that God expects of us is that we trust Him and we have faith and confidence in God. And is there anything more important than you can have in your life as a Christian than your confidence in God? Is there anything more important you can have in your marriage than confidence in your spouse and the integrity and the goodness of this person that you spend your life with day in and day out? And with our family and with our parents and our children, those ties that we have are based upon our trust and our faith in one another. But if we do not have faith in God, then how will we be able to enter into His rest? It's possible then, the Hebrew writer says, that we need to admonish one another and exhort one another daily that an evil heart of unbelief does not set in upon us, and we, through that unbelief, fail to enter the promised land. Because of the love of this world and the joys and the pleasures that it can put in front of us that cause us to question God and turn away and lose our faith in God, what God is promising to do for us. The third thing that we see here is that the need for personal involvement with one another to help each other remain faithful. So many times as we read through the New Testament, the apostles, the leaders within the church, they are urging people, exhorting them to be saved and to remain faithful to God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, Peter on the day of Pentecost, as he was preaching, he said, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." Later on in the 11th chapter of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas were in Antioch, and it speaks about them coming there in Acts 11 and verse 23. And it said, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Referring to Barnabas, he was referred to as the son of encouragement. He gave encouragement to people. In the 14th chapter of Acts in verse 22, Paul, after the journey that he had gone, he returned back through many of the congregations a second time, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Many examples like that where we find them exhorting. And that is the work of a preacher of the gospel, to exhort. And in the book of Romans, it says in Romans chapter 12 that in the body of Christ, the Lord has given various gifts within the body. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, it says, having then gifts differing according as the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And one of those, it says in verse 8, he who exhorts with exhortation. So I would understand there are some people that are especially talented or gifted giving exhortation. But you see, the Hebrew writer, what he is saying is we can all do this. We all need to do this. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, he, writing there, Paul, to the church in Thessalonica, said, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Now, he's saying there, you are doing a good job, but keep it up and do even more. We don't ever just reach a point as we live the Christian life where we feel like, well, we've done enough, we've done our part. We need to keep pushing and admonishing and encouraging one another to be faithful and to do even more than what we are doing. Because we want to be faithful and we want to reach heaven when this life is over. We don't want to fall short. The Hebrew writer here says, continuing the thought, in verse 14, he said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? How many were there that came out of Egypt? 600,000 men. How many entered into the promised land? Two. Have you ever sat down with a calculator and figured out what the percentage on that is? Two out of 600,000? I think it's like 0.000033, something like that. It is unbelievable that all of these people came out of Egypt and saw what they saw, and only two of them entered into the promised land. That's why he's telling us that we need to do this with one another. We need to take this to heart. We need to not neglect the importance of exhorting one another. God commands it. There's a very practical reason why he says what he does, because of the dangers of unbelief that we can fall into as we live the Christian life. And then there is going to be a result. There is going to be a consequence. If we practice this, there's also going to be a consequence if we fail to practice this. We come to the close of the lesson. I want to extend the invitation of the gospel this morning to all of us. We are blessed to be part of this new covenant of Christ and the salvation that He has given to us. We're so better off than to be living there in the Old Testament. To be wandering across through the wilderness and following the cloud, the power of God was there. But look what God has given for us. He has given His Son to die for us. He has been raised from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's coming again. And what it is saying, we need to do this while it is today. And you know what today is, as far as your life is? Today is while you are living here, before your life comes to an end. For the Israelites, it lasted 40 years. They were in the wilderness 40 years. That's a long time, 40 years, right? But it came to an end. Your life seems like I have my life in front of me. But your life passes quickly. And it's going to come to an end. And we must listen to this while it is today. While we have the opportunity. I need to encourage and exhort. Sometimes I may even to push a little bit with my brothers and sisters because I want to see them, I want to see all of us make it to that goal that God has for us. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. If you are here today and have not obeyed the gospel, why not do that this morning? Come forward, let us assist you to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Begin that journey, and God will be with you as you go. And you have a family to encourage and exhort you. So do not neglect this opportunity that God gives us while we have the time to do it. Let's stand together and sing the invitation song.